minds to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take F-T-C-T.
Her voice, powerful, magical, magnificent. Spiritual and soulful. Aretha Franklin, Memphis born, but minted in Detroit's Motown. Named the Queen of Soul by the age of 25, and the moniker stuck over a career that spanned more than 50 years. We lost Aretha Franklin this morning to pancreatic cancer. She was 76 years old. Tonight, we look at her incredible music genius and life well lived. My guests are Jackie Gales Webb, host of WHUR's Sunday Afternoon Gospel, and Jeff Brown, host of The Original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Jackie, Jeff, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Jeff, why was Aretha Franklin so unique?
World renowned, Earl. She was not only an R&B artist, she did gospel. She did a little country western. She even hooked up with the guys over there in Europe and performed with them. So when you talk about recording artists who could cover so many different genres and be accepted by them all, you can't be greater than that, man.
Talk to me about her voice, Jackie. It was described several times today by those who were close to her as pitch perfect. What does that mean?
It means having a four-octave vocal range.
Four octaves.
It means that her ability to, I'll never forget when she came out and subbed and filled in for Pavarotti at the Grammys, where she sang opera and surprised everyone with her range and the depth in her voice. What you heard in Aretha's voice was feeling. Aretha Franklin was one of those artists where if you were going through bad times, you listened to Aretha. If you wanted to get closer to God, you listened to Aretha. If you wanted to celebrate and dance, you listened to Aretha, because she was pure soul, pure feeling.
You know, you could argue that she came along at the perfect time. She was a child of the civil rights movement, and her voice, which began, we first started hearing it in her father's church, C.L. Franklin's church in Detroit. You cannot imagine a more perfect voice, a more perfect personality, and a more perfect place to start, Jeff.
Detroit back then when she was coming along, I don't think she was, I don't think she was ever part of Motown.
No.
Yeah, she was Atlantic, Stax. But, you know, when you come out of the church, I mean, it's like God-given, man. You know, you don't, it's just something you have.
But the interesting thing about that, when she first started, the record company she was with was trying to get her into the Frank Sinatra mood, where they were having her sing the American Songbook and all these show tunes. And she did okay. But when they allowed her to sing gospel and soul, and they united her with the Muscle Shoals recording group down there in
Alabama.
Yes, that's
where she got Northwest
that's
Alabama.
That's where she got the name of Soul, the Queen of Soul, in that studio, right?
Isn't
that what happened?
Right.
So, I mean, like you're talking about a divinely talented person who not only could sing, but she could get behind that piano, boy, and take you places, man. You know,
and I think that's one of the things that a lot of people have a tendency to forget. With a lot of the modern artists, they sing, and some of them sing well, but they also often have electronic accompaniment
right.
and crutches. But But Aretha Franklin was also a great pianist.
Yes.
She was a musician.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
First and foremost.
Yeah, absolutely. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Aretha Franklin tonight, lost to pancreatic cancer in Detroit, 76 years old. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question. Jackie, talk to me about her gospel work, because we know about Respect and Natural Woman and all of that, but a lot of people are not, they're not always familiar with her beginnings in the gospel field.
Well, of course, she came from the church that was led by her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin. And she and Reverend James Cleveland put out one of the best gospel albums, I would say, of all time, called Amazing Grace, where she had wonderful songs that were pure Clara Ward-type gospel, but also she would take Marvin Gaye's Holy Holy and sing that song. And she has a wonderful song on that album where she combines Jesus Is My Friend with You've Got a Friend, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's just beautiful. Her gospel singing cannot be equaled. I know that she was very much admired by everyone in the gospel recording community. C.C. Winans put out a statement about how valuable she was. Richard Smallwood, in his online postings, talks a lot about how she influenced him, and they had the opportunity to work together, and how much that meant to him. Mm-hmm. But just to be in the presence of the Queen was just overwhelming for so many people, because she was such an icon. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that she was a part of our lives in so many important times. At the inauguration of President Obama, everybody remembers her singing. They remember the hat she wore.
Yeah, that church hat. I think the interesting thing about that is she really touched Black folks culturally.
Yes.
Because the mamas and grandmamas and great-grandmamas, you recognize those hats. That was an Easter Sunday hat. That was a deaconess board hat, but you know, for some white folks, they just thought it was strange, because they really didn't understand,
right.
You know, how important that kind of hat was to Black culture.
Right. But they understood her music.
Absolutely,
I will never forget on that TV show that used to be called Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown was this character, a TV news anchor, mm-hmm. who was, you know, the up and coming single female. But she had a baby. And when she had that baby and the baby was brought to her in the hospital room, she looked at that baby and sang, "You make me feel like a natural woman." And it was such a powerful moment. And because Aretha Franklin took that Carole King song and gave it her own style and feeling, that song will always be a part of American culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's Aretha. Yeah. Aretha has done so much for us, not only African Americans, but all Americans. She is an American icon.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the iconic voice and life of Aretha Franklin. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's talk to George, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, George. What's on your mind? George, are you there? George, give me a call back. Let's go to Roy, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Roy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. This is Roy from Fort Washington. I'm calling because I was listening to Christina Gray earlier today, and she was playing this litany of Aretha songs, and then all the men were calling in, but then all of a sudden it dawned on me, every single song, she uplifts men. And I had to call her and tell her. I heard, you can hear it in every song. You know, and I think it would just had our egos up so high. When you hear all these songs together, you never just heard that many Aretha songs, but every one of them uplifted men.
Well, it's funny, because as I was kind of going through and listening to some of her music and selecting some of the songs for this show, there were a lot of love songs.
Oh,
a ton of love songs.
I mean, talk to me about, because that's your thing.
Yes,
thank you, Roy.
With the Quiet Storm, the most requested Aretha Franklin song at night since I've been hosting this show is Ain't No Way.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, when I go back and I play I'm in Love, and when I play This Is For Real, she has a beautiful song that she teamed up with Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops that we feature sometimes. I mean, I music is something that I grew up with. I was talking earlier today, and they were talking about Cos and Sprouse Beach, when all those folks, you may not be familiar with Cos and Sprouse Beach. Back in the day, that was the Chitlin Circuit around here.
Okay.
And so when Smokey and the Temptations and all those folks in Aretha, when they would come and play Cos and Sprouse Beach, man, you know, when Aretha would take to the stage, it was done. You know, it was like so uplifting. You know, I mean, it's hard to even put in words the impact she would have on a crowd.
Yes.
You know, I remember hosting a show with her back in the 90s when I was here at WHUR in the afternoon out of the Nissan Pavilion. So we get there, go downstairs. They introduce me to her. I shake her hand. As the host, I always ask, is there anything you want me to say? You know, anything you need me to do on stage? She's like, oh, no, we're just looking forward to having a good time. So we go upstairs. Her band is on stage. And so the account executive who's with me, she's getting a little antsy. She said, Jeff, you got to go. You got to start to introduce her. So I get the mic. I take to the stage. I'm like, are you ready for Chain of Fools? Are you ready for Respect? Mm. Are you ready for Until She Comes Back to Me? All her great hits, right? Aretha waits another half hour. Folks were going crazy. I mean, after 15 minutes, Crystal said, Jeff, you need to go back. Yeah, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't tell the jokes.
Well,
you know?
Jeff, very quickly, I got to tell you.
She was a diva.
You know,
I got to tell you the two love songs. Yes, Ain't No Way. Yes, yes, yes. But also, I Never Loved a Man. The way she sings that song. And here's another one. This was the B-side. If those of you who remember 45s, this was the B-side to Respect. Dr. Feelgood.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, indeed.
Y'all taking me back.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the life and legacy of Aretha Franklin. Suzanne calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Suzanne, are you there?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Go right ahead.
I just had two comments.
Real quick.
I had the pleasure of working with her at a concert at the White House. I worked for a TV station. And I just wanted to say that she was so pleasant and so down to earth. And she was joking with the crew, and she had these short hot pants on. And she said, I look like Tina Turner today. And everybody laughed. But the other thing that interests me, I heard today from a female friend of hers who's an opera singer. I believe her name was Grace Mazzara. She said that the biggest influence for Aretha and her was Marian Anderson.
Mm. There you go. One of the greatest African American singers and American singers to live in the 20th century. Suzanne, thank you so much. I need to take a break. When we come back, more about Aretha Franklin, including her participation in the civil rights movement and women's liberation, something a lot of folks may not be familiar with. We are talking about Aretha Franklin, lost her today at the age of 76. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, our own Jeff Brown. He's coming up next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on SiriusXM.
Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're paying tribute to Aretha Franklin, who died this morning at the age of 76. My guest is Jackie Gales Webb. She's host of WHUR's Sunday Afternoon Gospel, and of course you, the listener, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, and if you were here in studio, you could hear or see Jackie kind of rocking, because again, that gospel piece,
yes,
that the underlying foundation of faith could be heard in
everything.
In almost everything she did.
Everything she did, she brought her soul and life to the music that she performed, no matter what it was. And as I said earlier, when she performed gospel music, it just tore everyone up and brought the Spirit of God into the room. Aretha was blessed, and she recognized the fact that God blessed her with this tremendous gift, and she gave it so willingly and freely to all of the world, frankly. Everybody knows about Aretha. Nobody is named like Aretha. Nobody could sing like Aretha. Special.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Marguerite calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Marguerite. What's on your mind?
Yes. Greetings to you and your guests.
Thank you so much.
I've just been enjoying this program all day on WHUR, just talking about Aretha and her accomplishments and how she touched so many souls. And then I keep hearing that we lost Aretha. And it occurs to me that everything that I've heard today has helped me to embrace her even more. And I think that's been the same for everyone. And so because this cycle is about everlasting life, the energy of her is still with us, it's embracing us, and it's taking us forward. And so for me, I've not lost Aretha. As a matter of fact, this has enlivened her more in my spirit. And
I agree totally.
Thank you all for sharing.
Yes.
Thank you
yes.
so much,
that
Marguerite.
Was so important. Thank you so much for that, because
yes.
we're praying that young people will start listening to all of Aretha's music. That we'll,
no doubt.
We will
it's
begin
done.
To hear more of her music as yes. time goes on.
Thank you so much, Marguerite. I appreciate it. Jackie, talk to me a little bit, if you can, about the symbol of Aretha Franklin as a strong and vocal presence in the feminist movement. She meant so much to women in the 60s and 70s.
Yes. Well, you know, people hear the song Respect,
mm-hmm.
and that is the ultimate song for a strong woman. Although it was written by Otis Redding, it was originally his song, but she just took it and ran with it, and it meant an awful lot to women. I think about Aretha in later days singing with Annie Lennox. Sisters are doing it for themselves, she said. She just always emanated strength and female strength. I'm not really familiar with what she did in the feminist movement, but her presence provided power and inspiration to women who were trying to make it through the day, if they were the only working person in the household, if they were going through troubles in their relationships. She was a source of strength.
And also one of the most powerful moments for Aretha Franklin and the Civil Rights Movement was when she played at the funeral of Martin Luther King in 1968. She was still very, very young. And there are, of course, the iconic pictures of the King family there, you know, in mourning, the children, you know, the wife, and listening to Aretha Franklin, you know, just her stirring rendition of "Precious Lord, Take My Hand" at that time, and even, you know, as a child, as a young child, I remember, you know, my parents and even my grandparents talking about hearing that. And I think that for a lot of people, that really brought her to the forefront of the civil rights stage. But her father was already well known in the civil rights community, C.L. Franklin.
Oh, yes. Reverend C.L. Franklin not only was a tremendous pastor in the Detroit area, he brought many of the gospel groups to that area. She was able to witness Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers and Clara Ward and all of the great singers right there in her father's church. So what he did was to bring her into that fold where she blossomed. Mm-hmm. And that was so, so important. I saw a post today. Someone was remembering one of our Washington, D.C. radio legends, Madam Lucille Banks Robinson Miller.
Yes, Lucille Banks Robinson Miller. Yes.
The person was talking about remembering when Madam Miller would bring Aretha Franklin and Reverend C.L. Franklin's groups into Washington, D.C. So she is just full of memories for us.
Yeah.
No.
Without a doubt. And speaking of which, let's go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Francine calling from D.C. Francine, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Good evening,
Hi,
everyone.
How are you?
Jackie, this is your favorite, Francine Nickens Frank. How is everyone today?
Good, Francine.
Good,
we
good.
We are remembering our girl, Aretha Franklin.
That's right.
What a legend. Mm. What a wonderful person. What a spiritual person. When I think of her, I think of her over at the stadium, singing Respect in 1968.
Mm.
And I remember her standing there with a cast on her arm because she had fallen, I think, maybe a couple of weeks before.
Wow.
The show was sold out. It was magnificent. We will always love her. We will always remember her. We will keep her in our hearts, our minds, and our souls.
Yeah.
And
yes.
We just pray for her family.
Yes.
To give them strength for the journey. Because after all, this is the day that the Lord has made.
All right.
All right, Francine. Thank you so much.
Harold, have you ever heard Nikki Giovanni's poem for Aretha Franklin?
I haven't.
Everybody no. Google that and listen. It's beautiful. She
okay.
writes about Aretha and the strength it took to be Aretha.
Well, you can't lose with Nikki Giovanni, whatever it happens to be. And I can only imagine, the power of prose when writing about Aretha Franklin. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. Cynthia, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Cynthia. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say I know that we all are going to miss Aretha. And I think that it was the strength of her voice. And I think if anyone is able, and most of you may remember this or you may not, during the Oscars or one of the Emmys once, Italian opera singer Pavarotti became very ill right before he passed away.
It was the Grammys.
Yes, and he asked Aretha to fill in. Now, I studied opera and classical music at Howard University.
Okay.
Trust and believe me, the woman, even though she was singing in Italian, and everyone in my household, no one knew what she was singing, they were crying.
Yes.
Well, you know, and Cynthia, to your point, it was Nessun Dorma by Puccini.
Yes.
And if I can pat myself on the back, I actually have that. I have Pavarotti singing that, because I remember downloading that when he passed away, and hearing Aretha Franklin sing it. It's a short piece. It is a short piece, and yet to bring soul to opera. Mm-hmm. That soulful, rich, emotional voice.
Yes.
There was just nothing like it. So, Cynthia, thank you so much for bringing that.
And Cynthia
to us.
Points yeah. out that the I remember the shock when they said Pavarotti can't make it, filling in her. Is Aretha yes. Franklin. Everyone was like, really? What?
Absolutely, but it truly made my day, and she was a true vocal stylist.
Yes.
No one but Aretha could have done that.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Donnie. Donnie calling from D.C. What's on your mind, Donnie? Donnie, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. You know, this was one of her later pieces, and A Rose is still a rose. And, you know, we still in sometimes play this on WHUR. And this is not only just a dance tune, but it I call this driving music. Mm-hmm. You know, this is.
And who does she do this with? Didn't she do this with someone?
I can't say that I know. You're asking a news person, not the music.
if it were gospel, I'd know.
Yeah, and that's all right. But I think that one of the things that you can say about Aretha Franklin is that she was multi-generational.
Mm-hmm.
Starting really, really kind of. Starting at 14 years old with that first gospel album, but then going into soul. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Jackie, but during the 1960s, it wasn't called R&B. You had rock and roll and you had soul. That the term R&B did not really come until much later. And to be called the Queen of Soul was extremely powerful. It was said even today she could have been considered the Beyoncé of her time with her international recognition and talents.
And not only was she intergenerational, but she was also multicultural or ethnic. When you think about Aretha Franklin singing with that band down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, the white band, and they had to come together with her soul and their Alabama style, and what that produced, it produced one of these rare American mixes of ethnic groups. Really, it really did. It was a pure, powerful sound that came from that union that she continued throughout her career. This sound that really drove home what America was all about. And I dare to say that she is the pure sound of American music, I think.
And I think that is such a critical point, because even though she started as gospel and soul, with both of which are pure forms of American music, black people could say, well, Aretha belongs to us. But the truth of the matter is,
she belongs to the world.
She did belong to the world and still does. Some 44 Grammy nominations, 18 Grammy awards, the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Medal of Freedom from President Bush, among so many other awards. She was just an incredible woman. But one of the things that was mentioned by Millette Green when she was doing her Talk Around Town segment today, that the thing that Aretha has always said, her best achievement was being a mother.
Yes.
Which, and I, that's what mothers say. That's for
well,
four
that's
boys.
The truth.
It is. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that is what a mother would say. That's mother's love.
That's all what a woman things, would say.
It's, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Aretha, that's what why women really, really relate so much to Aretha in her music, because she was a woman and wasn't afraid to show that she was a woman. And we just are so moved by what we hear in and through her music that she will always, no matter how far we go in time, when you listen to her music, you will feel what it feels like to be a natural woman.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more about the life and legacy of Aretha Franklin. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Because you got to keep us side by side. Yeah. Oh, me, oh, my. I'm a fool for you, baby. Oh, me, oh, my.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are paying tribute to Aretha Franklin. We lost her this morning to pancreatic cancer at the age of 76. Joining us now live in studio is Sidney Miller, friend of Aretha Franklin and founder of Black Radio Exclusive Magazine. Also, Jackie Gale's Web continues with us as we honor the great life and legacy of Aretha Franklin. Sidney, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm here because of Aretha. Well, she's a real close personal friend of mine. And she was high energy, and in one word, my description of her is that she was a diva.
Yeah.
And so, if you don't know how to deal with a diva, then you need to stay away from Aretha.
Beyond the public persona. Mm-hmm. What kind of woman, what kind of person was her? What kind of friend?
First of all, you have to be able to deal with a diva to be Aretha's friend.
Okay.
Because she's not going to change.
What does that mean?
Yeah, how do you deal with a diva?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I don't know what the description is in the dictionary, because I think that she was the first diva, and then everybody else said, well, I'm going to be like Aretha. I want to be a diva, you know. Do you remember when they had the big concert in Las Vegas? And it was the first time they had a diva's concert.
Oh, my goodness.
And all the top artists went to perform there. And Aretha was performing at another hotel, but she told them that she would come over there if they would announce that she is the diva of all divas, and then she went up and performed.
The queen diva.
Right, right. So all I'm telling you is Aretha was the strongest promoter of Aretha, and she had something to promote because she was the greatest singer ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't, you know, not say anything to somebody. That cover that I just showed you in my phone was going to be a cover, and she got too sick to do the interview.
Mm-hmm. I asked Jeff Brown this, and I'll ask you the same question. Why was she so unique? What was it about her voice that was nothing like we had ever heard before?
Her interpretation of it was that she had that was her gift from God. And so she had to use it. She had to express herself with it because God gave it to her for that purpose.
Amen.
And understand that she's a very religious person. Her father was a minister. She probably has put more money in the church than the whole congregation, you know. She gives a Christmas party every year. This past year was the first year she didn't give a Christmas party. And then the guy said that he knew that she had to really be sick not to do it, you know.
Talk to me about the transition from soul to R&B and even pop. What was that like for her?
Well, you know, those names have probably done more to segregate black music than anything else, you know, putting a name on it. And if you talk about Aretha Franklin, she is the best at everything she ever did. Mm-hmm. She has a great voice. She had great songs that she and her sister Carolyn wrote. And she just, you know, she really did a number with everything that she did. In other words, whatever she did, she could take somebody else's song and do it better than them.
Sydney, did she intend to do more gospel music? You know, the Amazing Grace album was just beautiful. Did she?
I know. That was one of the projects we had talked about doing, was a gospel album. And for her birthday, for her last birthday party that I went to in New York, she had it at the Four Seasons. And the Four Seasons Hotel let her take over their lobby bar. Of course, she probably had $100,000 worth of food she had bought. I mean, she had the best of shrimp. She had the best of crab. She had oysters. She had cooked oysters and raw oysters. And she had everything that you could imagine to eat. The only thing was, in order for her to have the whole bar, she had to let anybody who had a hotel key come in the bar if they want to come in the bar. But she didn't care about that, and she let the people eat. Mm. But that night was, I had gotten the Dizzy Gillespie All-Star Band to play for her.
Oh, my goodness.
And she took a trellis. Let's say that back wall back there is the stage. And she's sitting here, and she had two easy chairs sitting next to each other, with a little table in between them with a bottle of Cristal. And she put a trellis as high as this wall where when you walked into the room, you couldn't see her until you came around, mm-hmm. All right? Well, it turned out that other seat was for Hillary, and she was a no-show.
Hillary Clinton. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. And but that night, Omarosa, whom I know because I taught her how to play golf, saw me in the party and said, "Ah, Sydney." And I said, "Come on in." Mm-hmm. So they come in and we go sit on the bar. And we're sitting there drinking champagne. She said, "Oh, Sydney," she says, "I'm going to have to do a lot of press." She said, "Will you ghost with me?" And I said, "I'll do anything you ask me to do to help you, you know?" And she says, "Well, great." And just about that time, Aretha sent her security over and they threw them off the under the bus.
Oh, wow. Sydney, tell me, how did you first meet her? What was that like?
You ever hear of a guy in New Orleans in radio named Larry McKinley?
I can't say that I have.
Okay. Larry McKinley was the number one jock in New Orleans for over 30 years. He invited me to the jazz festival that he was hosting. And I went down, and I got there before the show started, and he said, "Come on, let's go say hello to all the groups, okay?" He said, "Let's go see Aretha first." So we went in Aretha's trailer, and Aretha said, he introduced me. He says, "Aretha, this is my friend Sidney Miller." He says, "We're two Sagittarians." And she said, "Sidney Miller, are you the Sidney Miller that does BRE magazine?" I said, yeah, that's me. She says, "Oh, you my 411.
So, and how did you develop this friendship with her? It seems that, you know, based on some of the stories that you're telling, it was organic.
Yeah, it was very organic. I decided that if I could get her to fly again, mm-hmm. that we both could become billionaires.
So that is true. She would not fly.
Yeah.
No. You know, the last place that she flew to was Atlanta, Georgia, and they played Chastain Park. And Andrew Young was the mayor of Atlanta at the time. And he came up on the stage. First, Aretha called me up and she says, "This is Sidney Miller. This is Mr. 411. And that's all that. And say hello to him. And you got to read his magazine." And then Andrew Young, who I know, came up. And Andrew said, "Aretha, you know, you are the greatest. And I hereby proclaim tomorrow," which was a Monday, "Aretha Franklin Day." Mm-hmm. and I want you to come by the office, and we have a, and so he had a big party for her. And he came into the party, and somebody called him on his phone with an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to leave the room. And he says, I'll be right back. Just you all go ahead and enjoy yourself. Well, during that time, Aretha missed the plane that they were supposed take off on. So, but there was no problem. Andy got them on Delta, and, you know, the whole thing went okay. But when she got off that plane,
she'd never
been on a plane since. And what's his name? H.B. Barnum, her music director? I said, well, man, what happened on the plane? Was it turbulence or something? He said, hell no, man. It was as smooth as ever. He says, one of the smoothest flights I've ever been on. And he says, I have no idea why she decided not to fly again. So I got into her with this, and I was telling her, we got to fly. And she led me on, okay.
That was going to happen, yeah.
All right, and then we were supposed to fly, not this past July, but July before that, we were supposed to fly. And she called me, and she said, oh, Sydney, she said, my schedule is just so jammed up. She said, can we do it in September? And I said, yeah, we can do it in September. And when September came,
it never happened.
She wouldn't return my calls.
Sydney, and I'm low on time here. What do you think, briefly, is going to be her lasting legacy?
The greatest singer ever. She not only had style, but she had some of the strongest pipes of anybody that ever sang. Mm-hmm. So somebody else does not want to get on the stage with her, okay? And I've been trying to think of this guy's name, this lady's name. There's a woman that had a song, and Aretha put the song together in her show in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And when she put the show together in Philadelphia, she had Ron Isley to come up and sing this woman's song with
another
her.
Great singer. I'm going to have to stop you here because I am out of time here. But thank you so much for coming by. I appreciate it.
I had to do it because I know that she had a lot of fans at this station. And I wanted to speak for her that she appreciates what you guys did for her. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Jackie, thank you so much. I also want to thank Jeff Brown for coming by. We talk about favorite songs. This one is mine, Angel. We're going to miss Aretha Franklin. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, August 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
Gotta find me an angel to fly away with me. Gotta find me an angel who will set me free. My heart's without a home. I don't know.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, Glasshouse Radio.